Welcome to Rethink, a podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Zahida Siddiqui, editor at Skilled Nursing News. I'm joined for this episode by Barb Clapp. Barb is the CEO of Dwyer Workforce Development, an innovative nonprofit whose purpose is to provide training for certified nursing assistants and geriatric nursing assistants, as well as entry-level job positions to individuals who lack opportunity and want to pursue a career in the healthcare industry. Dwyer Workforce Development provides not only job training, but also wraparound services and a person-centered case management of the students that enroll in its programs. The organization has been tremendously successful in placing its candidates into assisted living and skilled nursing facilities where workforce shortages remain an ever-present threat. Before we dive into my conversation with Barb, I'd like to highlight Skilled Nursing News' 2025 Clinical Executive Conference taking place on February 18th in Bonita Springs, Florida. The conference will explore trends, challenges, and opportunities facing clinical and business leaders in skilled nursing. Join us and many C-suite executives from across senior care and healthcare to learn about the issues reshaping clinical care. Visit skillnursingnews.com/events to find out more. And now, my conversation with Barb Clapp. Welcome, Barb. Let me start, Barb, by asking what's your sense for staffing pressures across the sector?
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. Well, the staffing pressures are terrible. ACA just put out a statistic that 94% of nursing homes need staff now. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that more than 275,000 additional nurses are needed from 2020 to 2030. That is just insane.
Have staffing pressures eased at all in 2024, or has the situation been up and down?
Well, I think that the staffing issues continue to be a concern. We have found that the skilled facilities that we are placing our Dwyer scholars in are actually in very good shape, and that makes me very happy. Many of them have stopped using any kind of agency nurses. And so I guess, you know, the facilities where Dwyer scholars are, they're not struggling, which makes me pleased. But I think the majority are struggling, and it will continue to be concerned because over 10,000 Americans turn 65 every day, and about 62 million aging adults require increased care and support. And I actually met with some heads of hospitals, presidents of hospitals yesterday, and they were telling me that actually youth that are would not have made it because of medicine have made it but cannot, you know, operate in, you know, an everyday environment will require that number of people are requiring more care as well. So it's going to be quite a challenge. I did want to also say that seniors will outnumber children by 2034, and there will be nobody left to take care of us as we age.
Yeah, that's a very important point. So I wanted to ask you too, to give us update on how the Dwyer workforce development model has progressed over the last 2 years.
So I'm excited to share a lot about that. When I first started Dwyer workforce development with Jack Dwyer, it was a startup. So it was just Jack and me. And since that time, we have grown our staff considerably, which has allowed us to even do better at what we're doing. And one of the things that we've really worked on is supporting our case management team, because our case management, person-centered case management is essential to the success of our Dwyer scholars. But, you know, we've grown so exponentially that there were a lot of scholars for each case manager. So we have kind of tweaked our case management department, and we've broken it out into three sections. One is a training support center, and that training support center is what we have as the first line of contact. So we're getting a lot of referrals into our program, and I expect that my training support center will call or contact the inquiries within 24 hours. Because as you know, our Dwyer scholars come from a pool of people that lack opportunity, and they've spent a lot of their lives hearing no. And if they finally get brave enough and say, hey, I think I could do this, when they contact us, I want them to hear yes right away. So our training support center contacts them within 24 hours, and that's where they do a barriers assessment of the person that would like to be a certified nursing assistant. And they ask them all the questions like, do you have childcare? No. Do you have transportation? No, not really. Do you have food insecurity? Do you have housing insecurity? So then when that those answers are, you know, achieved, they can then address like what they need to do to help our Dwyer scholars be successful. We also at that time do an analysis of whether healthcare career is the right place for them. Do they like you know, to be up close and personal with people, and do they mind what, you know, blood and that kind of thing? So we're kind of really assessing their excitement and willingness to be part of this. And then we also do an analysis of their financial situation, because a lot of times they'll say, I can't afford to go to work because I'll lose my benefits. So we have a program that allows us in 5 minutes to assess their income and their benefits versus what they will achieve in terms of extra income when they become a CNA. And that has been really enlightening for our scholars. So then the next step is they are put in a training program and they're handed over to our case managers, who then really navigate the day-to-day with the Dwyer scholar. And I believe that they spend a lot of time just coaching our scholars on how do you get up in the morning? How do you get to work on time? How do you grab a healthy breakfast? How do you get your kids out the door? And they also do things like safety plans for domestic violence and housing, catastrophic housing issues, or getting people out of their cars that they live in. And then the last step of our process that has changed is at 9 months, we now have a career counseling department. And at 9 months, we reach out to our Dwyer scholars who have been stable in their employment and say, okay, so what's the next step for you? If you'd like to stay a CNA, that's great, but there's a whole wide world out there, and these are the things that you could do that will improve your income and possibly give you an opportunity to go to RN or LPN. So that has really been refined, and it is working super well. So we've done a lot of really exciting things, including staffing up. And we've also been really working on our back of the house and making sure that we have all the numbers we need and the data we need so that we can really support, you know, this model and really prove that it is, it's a fantastic way to make sure that the workforce pipeline is growing.
So, Barb, what strategies have been most effective in addressing the persistent staffing shortages in nursing homes over the past year or so?
So, workforce development models don't typically work because of the same barriers to success exist before you get a job. After you get a job, then you can't expect the Dwyer scholar to be successful or anybody you hire to be successful, because it's just sometimes insurmountable to get through a transportation issue or a childcare issue. So the strategy we do is making sure that we address every one of those issues right up front so that our scholars can absolutely focus on the job at hand, which is to get trained, get placed in a job, and be successful. And because of that, we provided $1.3 million in comprehensive support for job training last year, you know, case management support and wraparound services. For instance, we did over 42,000 Lyft rides in 2023 for our Dwyer scholars, which is significant. And I think that the strategy of addressing the whole person and the whole family has really worked for us. The other thing that we're doing is we are in the midst of building what I call healthcare villages. And our healthcare villages are multi-income subsidized housing, childcare right on the spot, and also a resource center. We're doing them in definitely at-risk areas. And this allows our scholars, they'll get the housing at a year when they want to upskill because they have to back off and go to more schooling. So we'll provide stipends and housing for them. And we currently have another plank of that, which is resource centers. And these centers actually exist in certain at-risk areas at the moment. And what we do in these centers is provide all kinds of services to our scholars, like expungement support, financial literacy, domestic violence support. We do things like Art with a Heart for the scholars' children, where they can come in and we just had them put mosaics in a pumpkin, which was really cool. And we get resources from the library where we give out books for our scholars. So all of this is, a set of strategies that we think help support the scholar through their journey into stable employment and as a stable employee. So we're in Maryland, Texas, and Florida. So in Maryland, Future Care would ring a bell, Lorien Health, Touchstone Communities in Texas, as well as Pruitt Health, Elevate Care, and Pines of Sarasota are in Florida. So we are really working with some very fine organizations beyond those two, but they're just, samples of where we're placing our scholars. And we found that they've been really great partners for us because they know, and we know, that it takes both of us working together to help our scholars be successful and achieve the retention that we have today. So, 81% of our Dwyer scholars have completed a CNA and 86% have been placed in nursing facilities. And they've achieved over $31 million in annual earnings since, this year, actually. So in 2024, we'll train 3,600 Dwyer scholars. And to date, since 2021, we've trained 6,000.
Great. Barb, what role does technology play in alleviating staffing challenges, and how can nursing homes leverage advancements in technology to enhance workforce management and efficiency?
Well, technology can be a vital tool in supporting engagement with our scholars. We have a Dwyer Scholar app that we had created as soon as I began the nonprofit. And we use that app to communicate with our scholars every day on, tools that they can use to be successful at their jobs. So when they do engage with us, they actually get points for engaging, and they can go to a store that we have, a virtual store, and they can buy things for their families, toys or food or gift certificates, and some of our scholars treat themselves to a spa, which is really nice. We like that. So that's technology we use for scholars. Obviously, technology in the facilities is really super important. There are so many things that technology has allowed us to do that have streamlined operations and should be embraced. So. We're always looking at new ways to enhance the scholar's journey, both in a facility and, with our program.
Great. Given the high turnover rates in the sector, what are some best practices for creating a supportive and engaging work environment that fosters long-term employee satisfaction and commitment?
So creating open communication channels between employees and management are key. And leveraging our case management to help people navigate their challenges and set goals for their future growth is important. Taking a holistic, individualized approach to long-term stability focused on, you know, like career growth and economic improvement and not one-size-fits-all mentality is super important. The other thing that we really find is important is communication with us, the Dwyer Workforce Development Team that's in charge of working with the facilities and the HR departments. And I've mentioned earlier that we require that they do a touch point with us every 2 weeks to let us know how our scholars are doing. And we wouldn't have as much success if we don't have that relationship with them. So I think that it prevents us from not knowing that there's a problem going on. And then, you know, the scholar turns over and we don't know for one reason or another, and everybody's, you know, disappointed. So each week, every 2 weeks, we touch base and we say, how are these folks doing? Are there any challenges? If there are, let us know, because we want to address them on our end to make sure that you're getting the best out of our Dwyer scholars.
Great. And what are some successful onboarding practices used by facilities to integrate new nurses into skilled nursing roles and guarantee that the nurses remain in place for at least 90 days? We feel like, you know, I've been told that maybe 90 days seems like a good threshold. So I'm wondering how the Dwyer Workforce Development support enhances the onboarding process for new hires, and how effective are these practices in ensuring a smooth transition?
So we also have a policy that our case managers, we regularly communicate with our scholars through the app, but we make sure that there is a contact at 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. And that contact really gives us the information we need to keep the onboarding going on track. And we also can figure out if there's challenges going on. And so sometimes a scholar is placed in a fine environment that doesn't work for them. So we can find out very early on, like, this manager isn't a good match for this person. And we have a conversation with the key people at the facility and make a decision about moving them so that there's success on both sides. So I think that that is a really important thing, those 30, 60, 90 day touches. But we know that with the national retention rate, which is in the first year, 17%, and we're hovering between 81 and 84% retention, that this model is working and is taking us well beyond onboarding success and making it career success for our scholars and for the facilities themselves. It's important.
How does compensation for skilled nursing staff at nursing homes compare to other healthcare settings? And what additional benefits or incentives do you suggest to attract and retain staff?
So we have seen a lot of variables because we're in three different states, and two of the states we are in are very large states. Texas and Florida are very large, and they actually have a lot of rural populations. So it's very, very different, and it's interesting how, you know, in one area, rural is paid less than urban. And in one state, I mean, not one area, they're paid less than the urban population. And in other areas where they're desperate for people, they're paid more. So it really is all, we've seen it all over the board in the facilities. I do think that generally the CNAs are paid way less than everybody else. And, you know, our goal is to get them upskilled so that they are making a living wage and so that they can create generational wealth for their children and, you know, hopefully first-gen grads. But there are statistics for nurses that the median annual wage for a registered nurse is about $80,000 in nursing and residential care facilities. So that's a significant increase from $16 an hour as a CNA. And, you know, our hope is that we can get people there. And we have a lot of single head of household mothers who we hope will be able to achieve stability, and they're not always worrying about their housing stability or their, you know, their food insecurity. So, but there, yeah, to answer your question, it's very variable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are your projections for staffing needs in the next 5 to 10 years? And how are you planning to address potential shortages or increased demand for skilled nursing services?
So in our planning, as we grow this nonprofit and we're looking at other states, we are really taking considerable interest in these statistics. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that more than 275,000 additional nurses are needed from 2020 to 2030, and that the nursing field will grow at a 9% rate faster than all other occupations from 2016 through 2026. That's crazy. The American Hospital Association also says there will be a shortage of up to 3.2 million healthcare workers by 2026. So we're trying to grow as fast as we can, but as smart as we can, so that we can continue to address these challenges in this catastrophic healthcare staffing crisis that we're facing in this country.
Wonderful. And then my last question is, this podcast is called Rethink. How can nursing homes rethink their approach to recruitment and retention to build a more resilient workforce?
I think workforce development is the answer to solving the healthcare staffing crisis like we're doing now. You know, like I said, the wraparound services and the person-centered case management are the keys to why this is successful. And there's no reason that nursing homes can't rethink how they do this and do it themselves or team with us so that we can provide the wraparound services and case management. And that happens often now. The facilities that we work with quite often, you know, they pay for the training and we work with their trainers and then we provide the wraparound services and case management that improve their outcomes. The other thing is offering a career path, making sure their pay is better, and making sure that they're training their managers so their managers know how to manage and treat people the right way. A lot of people are made managers, but really haven't had the training that they should have. So I think those are all ways that nursing homes can rethink their approach to recruitment and retention to build a more stable workforce.
Fantastic. Barb, it's been a pleasure having you on our podcast, and I wish you the best of luck with all these endeavors, and thank you.
It's great talking to you. I really appreciate it.
That does it for this episode of Rethink. I'd like to remind listeners about our upcoming clinical conference on February 18th in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit skillednursingnews.com/events to learn more and get tickets. Until next time, thanks for listening.